tonight. We're going to believe God's going to loosen us up here to be able to talk a little. And maybe I'll say the right thing in a crowd like this. I don't know if it's hardly as large as it was last night. It's really larger than I really expected after last night. A few of the points that I've tried to bring out. But I'm glad you're here. And my vision is getting a little dim. I see pretty good first 15 pews and not so good after that. So I can't tell if you're saying come on or if you're shaking your fist or I can't discern. See what the Lord will do for us in this place. There's just a couple of scriptures that I feel like I want to try to say something about for the Lord to help us. Ninth chapter of the book of Acts. Of course, this is a very famous story, and I'll read just a little of it. Try not to weary you too much with reading. Folks' attention span is a lot shorter than it used to be. And I'll try to just say it. But it starts out, the Bible said, tells us the story about Saul of Tarsus. How he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And he went to the high priest. He got orders to have the Christians thrown into prison and bound. But little did he know, he was the one bound. That's right. Isn't it something how sometimes before you got saved, you looked at the Christian world and thought they were bound and you was the one bound all the time. That's the way it was with me. I finally realized it, that the Christian had liberty. They were free. They had a free course. Amen. And I found that out when I was 19 years old. Praise God. And I'm glad. You see, I still remember my old life. And I'm not going to be talked out of this one. Because I remember what that one was like. Praise God. And I like my liberty. I like my freedom. I like the fact that I'm no longer on the road to hell. I like that. I've seen folks get out of church for various reasons. Some of the worst excuses under the sun. I've been pastoring 13 years past now, and I've heard a lot of stuff. But I'll tell you what, if you really get it, it'll take more than just a little this or that to get you out, won't it? I don't want to get out. Praise God. Folks trying to make an excuse to get out, and I'm finding every reason in the world to stay in. Praise God. How about you? I'm sold on old-time religion. I like it, praise God. I'm having the time of my life. And we're not even got, amen, to heaven yet. Just think about it. Praise God. Amen. Are you glad you're saved tonight? Well, let me look here a little bit more. Got to hurry. But it said, on the road to Damascus, Saul saw a great light. You can read along through there. Heard a voice saying, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Why?
He, of course, he said, who is it, Lord? He had a pretty good idea who it was. Because he said, who is it, Lord? That's like Brother Collins coming to the house and me saying, who is it, Brother Collins? Is it you? Huh? He had a good idea who it was, but the Lord went ahead and cleared it up for him. And he said, I am the Lord, or I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I'd say he was hoping that wouldn't be the answer he'd get back, but it was. Praise God. And one of these days when I hope a voice will speak to folks that are doing wrong and find out they're doing wrong against Jesus, it might straighten them up. Praise God. Well, I got to hurry about along to my text here. Praise God. I don't know why folks get me for meetings because sometimes I don't even get to my text. And that's not good for etiquette or nothing else. But I'd like to get the Lord to help me here. Saul was blinded, but he got saved.
Yeah.
and he never got over it. Praise God. I said he never got over it. Why, every time he got a chance to testify, Brother Andy, he talked about a lot of great stuff, but just about every time among all that third heaven stuff, he just talked about that time down on the earth. Praise God. And you know, that's what I like. I like to preach about. Amen. Let's move along here. There's so many texts in here that I don't know what we're going to do tonight. Where'd my family go? They're still here. Praise God. Pray for me. I'm kind of in a rock and a hard place here. And it said, of course, he told Ananias and to go up and to Brother Saul. Boy, that was strange, wasn't it? Said Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, amen. The Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest. He sent me that thou might receive the sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God, and it happened just like he went up there for. He laid hands on him, amen, and he was healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God, I like that. Amen. And you know, I preached this text one time where it said, behold, he prayeth. A man, well, I better not. I don't know if I would tell this or not. These tapes have a way of getting everywhere in the universe. Praise God. You know how that goes. You got, praise God. Well, let's move along here. Amen. And so I'm moving along. And the Bible said he received meat and was strengthened and saw. There and saw, was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, already preaching. Boy, that's something, isn't it? That he is the Son of God. He changed his tune, praise God. He was whistling another tune. Glory to God, he'd had an experience with God on the road to Damascus. He lost his sight and gained his sight and got the Holy Ghost, called to preach, and was out doing it in just a few days. Praise God. But you know, it looks like that would be the end of the story, but it wasn't. Bible said all that heard him were amazed, and of course everybody loved it and said amen and took him up big offering. Well, that's not hardly, I've read stories like that, but it's not this story. Huh? Hello out there. Y'all with me tonight? I'm headed toward my text. Just stay with me here. Praise God. Is not this he that destroyed them which called on Jesus on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Well, but their laying awake was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Ooh, out of the frying pan into the fire. Amen. Day and night they were watching now to kill him. Praise God. I like this man of God. Amen. It said, then the disciples took him by night, let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Well, it sounds like after he got saved even, praise God, he had a few minor adjustments that was going to have to be made. Praise God. I want you to look at this with me tonight. My text is found in verse 25, and let him down by the wall in a basket. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read another account of this. And I sure hope the Lord will help me, as one great preacher says, if the Lord will stand by me. Praise God. And brother, I know exactly what you're meaning by that here tonight. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 33. Paul rehearses this great escape. Amen. In the ears of the Corinthian people again. Before this, he begins to tell some things that he went through with. And he says, I am more in labors, more abundant, verse 23, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and in deaths oft, praise God. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Man. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Now, praise God. I don't know exactly. I guess that means in the deep sea, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Mediterranean.
Praise God. The Mediterranean. Amen. Y'all going to help me preach a little tonight? I know I'm getting a slow start here. Amen. But look what he said. He said, I spent a night and a day in the deep. Treading water, I guess. I don't know how else you could stay in the deep without it. But treading water. Hey, you ever been there? Feel like you spent a day and a night and a day in the deep just treading water? That's all he's doing. It's up to about here. And Brother Andy, a few times I went under. And then up again, bobbing up like a cork. Amen. Hey, praise God. I need to get to a text here. Amen. But look what he said. A night and a day in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water. Man, you talk about a story here. You talk about a great biography of a great man. We could title it, amen, The Life and Times of the Apostle Paul. In the first volume, we'd call it possibly Perils of Water, Volume 2. And then we could stick to the same title in the second volume. We could say Perils of Robbers, Volume 2. Perils by My Own Countrymen, Volume 3. Perils by the Heathen. That ought to be a bestseller. Well, praise God. Perils in the city. Amen. Perils in the wilderness. For all you wilderness lovers, there's perils in the wilderness. Praise God. And then it said, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, hunger and thirst and fasting and cold and nakedness. Where's my resignation? Huh? Praise God. I still got to get here. Dear Lord, help me, Jesus. He said, who is weak? Oh, I skipped. He said, and besides all these things, I have the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I'll glory the things which concern my infirmity. Amen. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, know it that I lie not. And then all of a sudden he hears something he left out of all the perils and troubles. And he remembers his time in Damascus when he first got saved. Amen. I just read it to you over there. Amen. And he begins to think about the time, amen, that he was holed up in that little room up there. And all the gates were guarded. Amen. And the governor was in on it too, according to this scripture. Amen. And so they had Paul bound. Amen. Come on now. Amen. And he said this. In Damascus, the governor under Arius, the king, kept the city of Damascus. Damascenes. With a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And then again he quotes in my text tonight, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. Praise God. Paul was bound, amen, in his spirit, in his soul, in his sins. Amen. On his way to Damascus to bind Christians. Amen. And he met the Lord Jesus on the road and he set him free. Amen. That's right. He set him free. And then he began to preach the gospel. Amen. And he was there in Damascus and in this city. God help us tonight. Amen. And it looked like there was no way out for him. Amen. Guards, the Bible said, they watched at every gate. Amen. But Paul, amen, escaped their hands. Amen. What I want to try to preach on tonight, amen. See, I realize, amen, that even after I got saved, amen, there's been a lot of places and a lot of times, Brother Wyatt, I've came, amen, into a place where I needed a breakthrough. I needed a breaking out. I needed a place of escape, even though I'd got my sins under the blood. Amen, there seemed to be a bondage, amen, and a restriction of my movements. And I looked like all hope was lost. And I needed some way to escape. Amen. I believe David said it like this. If I had the wings of a dove, amen, I'd fly away and be at rest. I would hasten my escape. Oh, help me preach a little bit. Amen. Tonight. Amen. Oh, this great man, as he tells of the times he was in a jam, the times he was in bondage, the times he was between a rock and a hard place. And then he says, but I escaped from their hands. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you tonight, I'd like to have another escape when you. I'd like to feel that escape and those doors open up and that way of escape come before us tonight. Oh, help me preach a little. I remember as a boy growing up, praise God, I remember as a little boy growing, I remember coming into the knowledge, Brother Shad, when I first began to realize, amen, that I was not a free individual. I realized as a child growing up, amen, that I was in bondage to my nature and in bondage to my sin. I remember the first lie I told, amen, and the condemnation that came upon me. I want to preach tonight on a great escape is my text. Amen. And I want you to help me. How many is going to help me preach just a little bit? Amen. You see, amen, we are born into sin, in iniquity. Amen. We are conceived. That's right. Amen. We have a Christian school at home and 50, 60 some children there. And you deal with little children. Amen. And you watch them as they grow. Amen. And you realize even at the very youngest age, you realize that those children are bound by sin. Amen. Oh, come on now, mama. Amen. Yes, sir. You realize that they are, amen, held captive. Amen. They are held as a slave. Amen. To sin. Oh, they want to tell the truth. Amen. I remember one little boy. Amen. I brought his work in. He had been scoring wrong on his paces. And I brought him in. He was about 11 years old. And he knew the heat was on. I brought his daddy in with him and I set him down across the desk from me. And I wanted to try to relay to him, amen, that cheating, amen, that this bad scoring, that saying something is right when it's really wrong, amen, was cheating. And that cheating was lying. Amen. And lying and cheating was sin. Amen. And he was in a heap of trouble. Praise God. And so I was trying to relay to this 11-year-old boy. And I kept trying to make him confess out, you know. And I said to him, I said, Jonathan, do you know what a misscoring is? And his daddy was sitting over there, a preacher, 6'5" preacher. Looking at him like, boy, I'm going to tear you up. That little boy was just shrinking down, you know, because I'd been on his case about 20 times already, and I was trying to get him to admit, amen, y'all going to bear with me till I preach a little, amen, I was trying to get him, Brother Collins, to admit, amen, and finally, I cornered him, and I pressed him, and I said, tell me what this misscoring is, and he said, poor judgment. Yeah, poor judgment. Man, his dad looked at each other. bit her lip and tried to hold her composure. Amen. Little guy was having a problem being honest. Amen. And you know, sometimes we laugh at that and make that light of that. But you know, when I was a little boy, amen, I grew up and realized that I, amen, was having a hard time keeping from lying. Well, I realized I was having a problem with, amen, something as I grew into this nature, amen, and this habitual thing. And it wasn't long that I, as a little boy, amen, began to use bad language and do bad things, amen. And I realized then as a young man and as a teenager, amen, that I was actually, Brother Shad, in a prison. Amen, I wanted to do good because if Daddy caught me, he trashed the daylights out of me. And so I tried to hold my composure when Dad was going to find out or if he was anywhere around. And I think that's pretty sad. A little old boy, amen, that's why my heart is touched by little old boys and girls. That's why we have that school. That's why we preach to them. That's why we build a youth camp. Because we know that little kids are born in prison. Hey, come on now. They must come, amen, to a point in their life where Jesus Christ helps them, amen, escape, amen, from the sin and from their self and the things of the world. Brother, it's pulling on them, Brother Andy. It's offering them everything under the sun. And if they don't get loose, and if they don't escape, oh, I can remember as a boy being under conviction and fearing for my soul. Amen. We didn't go to church when I was a boy. But I had the condemnation of sin upon my life. I was in that prison. I could only go this far. And then I had to turn and go back this way. Amen. A ceiling over top and a floor beneath and four gray walls. I had to do like my buddies did. I had to do like the world was telling me. I was in bondage and I needed an escape. Praise God. Bear with me here just a minute. Praise God, life tends to bring, amen, life tends to bring far walls of imprisonment. Come on now, church. Can you remember, praise God, being bound? Can you remember, amen, the burden of sin upon your life? Amen, I don't know if there's a lost person in this building or not. Amen, but listen. Amen, it might feel like to you. Amen, and I remember as a little boy wondering how in the world I'll ever get out of this. How in the world can I ever get free, amen, from my sins? I was 19 years old, and brother, I was very much in prison. I had the chains and the burden, and I was wrapped up in the world, and it looked like there was no escape for me. Amen, I'd lay on my bed at night in fear. Amen, because of the things I was doing. But it looked like there was no way out. Amen, help me preach a little bit. Amen, that's where this lost world is tonight. Amen, they're lost, hopeless and aimless. And it looks like there's no escape. There's no way out. Amen, but listen. Amen, there is. Amen, a way out. Amen, it may not be the conventional way. It may not be the normal way. It may not be the way of the world, but brother, there is an escape. Though ever how unorthodox it might be, there's a way for you to find relief from your sin. I'll stay with me as I try to hurry tonight. Feel a little unusual about preaching today. I need to preach though. Amen. I remember, amen, I look at this story and it amazes me. The Apostle Paul, evidently in an upper chamber. Amen. Time has come for him to leave. Amen. And he starts to leave, and somebody rushes in and says, "Don't go down there. They got a plot out to kill you. If you go down the steps and out the front door, they're going to be waiting on you to destroy you." Amen. I wonder if there's anybody in this building tonight. You've been feeling that pressure lately. Amen. Seems like every way you turn, Brother Rick. Amen. The enemy's waiting at the gate. And every exit sign is covered well by the devil. Has any of y'all ever been there? Praise God, I'll have to admit. Amen. After I got saved, there were times in my life I wondered, how am I going to get out of this? Amen. And can you imagine the Apostle Paul? Amen. Tonight, I'm feeling more like preaching to you. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul and all those things he went through? The stoning at Lystra. Amen. And all the, amen, the night and the day and the deep. The shipwreck, praise God. But you know, amen, all through the Bible, God's men have made great escapes. Amen. By the power of God. If he had to shake the jailhouse. Amen. Come on now. If he had to send an angel. Amen. Down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And say, escape to the mountain. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. There's not that urgency in our world anymore that they have to escape. Amen. But brother, we need to realize we must get loose and get out of here. Oh, I need to preach to you tonight. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. I've got just a little something I want to say to you somewhere along about in my message here. Amen. If a good Lord will help me. Amen. Paul looked around in that upper room. Amen. And realized, I'm stuck in here. Amen. There's no way out. Brother Andy, a pastor in the church, and trying to have liberty in your service, and trying to keep the problems at bay, and trying to keep yourself, amen, running in the right vein, and everybody else too. Amen. If you're not careful, amen, the chains will fall on you, and your hands will get bowed down, and your feet will become restricted, and you realize, amen, I didn't before, but now the devil's got every exit covered, and there's no way out. Amen. What are we going to do? Hey, hold on just a minute. God help me preach tonight. Praise God. Amen. I need to preach to you just a little bit tonight. Help me, sweet Jesus. Amen. Paul looked around. Praise God. Amen. And I don't know who first thought of it. I don't know whose idea it was. The Bible doesn't say. But he said he looked around. Amen. The Bible said they let him down through a window in a basket down the wall. Now that's a little bit unconventional. Amen. That's a little bit unusual. Praise God. But listen. Oh, hallelujah. I've seen times I'll have praised God for a window. Hey, come on now. Amen. I remember, you know, I read of a man in prison one time. Amen. And he just about had lost hope, brother. Amen. Of ever getting out. And he lost his desire of even getting out of that cell. And then he noticed, he hadn't even noticed before, but he noticed, Brother Shad, up in the very top of that cell was an old grimy window. Amen. And so, amen, after a while, his curiosity, he began to look in the wall, amen, and devise him a means of getting up to that window. Amen. And so he climbed up to that window. Amen. After days of working and toiling, just the hope of seeing that window spurred this prisoner on. And he climbed up there and he rubbed that window off and he looked out and there was snow-capped mountains in his view. He watched as the birds flew by and something in him, amen, rose up, amen, to last it out and stick it out and find a means, amen, to get out of this prison cell. Brother, sometimes, amen, I believe we're all sitting around church, amen, feeling like prisoners of war. Amen. We got the scars and the shackles. Amen. But brother, listen. Amen. There's a window in the church. Amen. Somebody needs to get the incentive. Amen. To climb the wall and rub it off. Brother Tinsley Rector. And let's look out and see if there's not a beautiful mountain. And oh, this prisoner's heart. Amen. Begin to yearn to the Smith. Amen. To walk upon those mountains again. If you've ever been raised in the mountains, amen, there's days you just get a little feeling you want to go to the top of one of them mountains. Hey,
way. Hey, help me, preacher. Amen. The first means of your escape is you've got to see, amen, a window of hope. Amen. That's not all you need, but we got to start there. Amen. We can get out of this place, amen, that we're in, if we can see the light from the window.
I remember as a boy coming through the yard one day. I was about 10 or 11 years old. My mama was raised in church, Brother L.L. Her daddy was a preacher. She married my daddy. My daddy backslid the first little while this married. Took the preacher's daughter out of church. When I was born into the world, Brother Gerald, we didn't go to church. But mama had, amen, that steel in her soul. She'd had all them years of singing in church. And I don't feel y'all helping me real my whole lot right now. Y'all just get right in here and help me. Sister Green, she had all them years of singing in church with her daddy. Amen. And enjoying the blessings of God. Amen. She was kind of, I guess, like the children of Israel who was carried away captive. Amen. But I remember one day, amen, earlier than this, about six, seven years old. I can remember very one of my first remembrances. I remember going by, amen, my mother's bedroom. And I heard a strange language coming out of the bedroom. You see, this woman never went to church. She couldn't go because her companion wouldn't allow her to. Amen. But I heard a language coming out. And I can remember as a little boy pushing the door open and listening to my American mother talking a heavenly dialect. I didn't understand it, Brother Andy. I've never been in a church house. Amen. But I heard something. You know what that was for me? Brother Gerald, that was my window. Amen. Amen. As a six-year-old boy, I climbed up to my mother's bedroom, and there I saw the delectable mountains. There I saw the snow lying in the valleys in those mountains. There I saw the spruce in the high country, and on down the mountain I saw the other trees and foliage. And brother, from the 6 years old on, Brother Shad, I knew there was a heaven. I was in prison. I remember as a little boy sinning my lay away and crying on my bed at night and saying, why did I do these things? I had shackles hanging on my little arms and fell on my feet. I fought and lied and stole and lied about it. Amen. At 10 years old, I had a cigar in my mouth standing by the road for people to see me. Bound. Amen. But oh, when I went into that godly woman's bedroom, and she didn't know I was there, what I saw as a six-year-old boy was a window of hope. Amen. Maybe I can get out of here. Maybe I can escape. Maybe there is a way for me to get out of this prison. I remember as 11 years old, amen, coming in from the field. Amen. Going into the back porch and hearing my mother in her beautiful soprano voice that she had trained Brother Heisel in the Church of God church choir. Amen. And on the evangelistic trail with her daddy. I heard her singing words that I didn't understand. She was singing, oh, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Over on the bright Elysian shore, where the howling tempest come no more, I'll meet you by the river. An 11-year-old boy stopped in his tracks. I'd never been in the house of God. I never heard a preacher preach. I'd never seen him make an altar call. I'd never, amen, felt the anointing and the power of God come down. But something stopped me in my tracks. And I realized that I didn't, he was something telling me I didn't have to be a prisoner. Amen. Oh, that gave me hope. Amen. And I climbed to the window one more time. And I rubbed off, amen, the dirt of the world. And I looked outside again. And
And I longed for the mountains. I longed to skip on the hills. I longed to be escaped. And I began to plot my escape. Amen. And I was not going to live like my relatives did in a drunken stupor. I was not going to visit the moonshine stills that my uncles did. I was not going to be a mean man. But I was going to be, amen, a child of God. I could escape by the grace of God.
I hope y'all help me preach a little more. I don't know who first thought of it, Brother Shad, among Paul's comrades. But somebody looked up and said, wait, there may be a way out of this after all. Well, what do you mean? I remember when I was 13, I had a buddy named Bo Hooker. He was a good boy, handsome boy. Me and him was buddies. He was Oz Bird. I like Bo. He was an odd guy. Good guy. Tough and fast. He was a little unusual. He'd eat his pencils. Teacher, they gave him a new pencil every day because he got nervous and ate them. He was my best buddy. I was a poor boy, Brother L.L. And one day, school, all the boys was eating ice cream. Had them popsicles, you know, and they cost 6 cents. And I didn't know what 6 cents looked like. And old Bo bought me a popsicle. He bought me a banana popsicle. I hate bananas. I remember that well. But you know, that banana popsicle don't taste like a banana. Not really. I ate it all, licked the stick. Huh? Me and old Bo was buddies through school. We were buddies up to 13 years old. Buddy was a fullback on our junior high football team. He was a good fella. I liked him. I'll never forget. I'll never forget when my daddy come and said, did you hear about your old buddy, Bo? I was 13. No. Said, they don't know what got into him. He went into the barn loft and shot himself with a .38 pistol. I remember walking out in the backyard and saying, why? And I said, oh, is this going to happen to me? Do I have to do this? Is this what life is all about? Oh, my buddy Bo, where's he gone? Will I ever see him again? Is this what life is all about? Is there no escape from this? Is there no escape from this? Huh? Oh, help me. Oh, I'm so glad for those times, Brother Shad, in those years of my life. Amen. Somebody showed me a window. Whether it was just a song or a prayer in the spirit, somebody showed a little old mountain boy that had never darkened the church house door. He did not have to commit suicide. He did not have to go to hell. Oh, I always seemed to know there was a hell. And I always seemed to know about Jesus some way. And I began to think more about this man. Amen. I began to think about this window. I don't know when it first dawned on me, amen, that there was a window of escape. But oh, tonight I'm so glad. Amen. I saw the window and somebody pointed it out. There might be a chance for you, son. I don't know who was the first to think, but soon as after they spotted the window, for it was too high up, it's too far off the ground, we're no better off. I don't know whose idea it was next, But they said, hey, here's a basket. Huh? A basket? A basket is not a means for carrying a man. A basket is to be carried by a man. And I don't know how big the baskets was in those days, but you know a basket is for a man to carry, and I don't know if a man could carry a bushel too well or not. I don't think it was much bigger than a bushel basket. I wish I had a bushel basket, but I don't. Somebody pulled out a bushel basket. There's a window and a basket. A lot of folks would have said, I'm too big to get in that basket. I'll never fit in there. Hey, somebody here right tonight. And if you didn't think you were so big, you'd already escaped. But you've looked at that basket and you've looked at your duds and looked at your position, looked at your prestige and looked at all your money and all the things you're doing and all, and you say, I can't get all that in this basket. And that's why you're still in prison. That's why you don't shout when the rest of them shout. That's why you got no zeal to drive you to the house of God. You're still in prison. I wish tonight some way I could show you a window and get you a little hungry. Help me preach a little. I'll never forget after I got saved at 19 and went to church, and Brother Ralph Horton and them was singing, and all they sing so good. And Sister Thelma and Brother Bob and Doris and Ralph would sing them pretty songs of harmony, and Brother Ralph would get in the spirit and go to shouting and dancing. And oh, there I said, a new convert. Amen. A long-haired old hippie boy just off the street in there, and I watched this man of God dancing in the spirit, and I said, oh, I'd like to do that. Amen. And you know, after a while I did do that, and I still do that. Hey, come on now. We can get out of this. We might have to use what's at hand, but we can get out of this. Amen. The devil may be guarding every door, but that's not the end of us. We can get out of here. There's a window and a basket, and I'm just going to get myself in that basket, no matter what I have to throw away, no matter what I have to give up. Paul may not have been able to take everything with him, but he wanted to escape, and that was the only way out. Let me preach a little more and I'll quit. I don't know, everybody says Paul's a small stature man. I don't know really. I haven't really read it all out like that. And, you know, I don't know that for sure, but he'd have had to been kind of a small man to go down in a bushel basket, would he? Huh? I can see him maybe weighing about 160 pounds. Maybe, you know, Brother Ralph Cox style. Huh? Put that little man in the basket. They looked over and said, well, we can't just drop this basket out the window. We'd kill our little preacher. So they looked around some more. Yep. See what we got here. Oh, here's a rope. Hey, this thing's coming together here. Yeah. Are you going to help me preach? Right. Hey, man, I was in bondage as a little boy, realizing through the window there was something better for me. Amen, Brother Brock. I realized there was an escape, Brother Rick, in the making. If we could get all of this together, hey, some of us here tonight needs to get out of the prison we're in. You've built your own prison. Amen. Get in the basket. Oh, get on in there. Get in the basket. Get in. You'll fit. One size fits all. Get in there. But now Paul's got a dilemma, Brother Shannon. He's got a basket. He's got a rope. But he's going to be in the basket. Who's going to hold the rope? Here I was as a young boy. When I finally, just to turn 19 years old, I realized that it was safe for me to get in the basket. As I look back before they started my descent down the wall to my escape, seemed like I could look and see my mama's arthritic hands hanging on to that rope. Yeah. And her saying, "Son, Jesus loves you." Yeah. Seemed like I could look a little further. Amen. And I could see prayers of my granddaddy and see his old hands. Oh, if this preacher could preach, we'd have a good time tonight.
Come on.
Brother L.L., I wasn't about 20 years old when I first saw you and heard you strum that guitar like nobody else can and tell them sad stories and bring them tears in my eyes and sing, amen, amen, that old song you used to sing about on some morning when the sun's pouring into my room. You remember that old song? I'd like to wake up some fine morning with the sun pouring.